Testing, 1, 2, testing. Thank you.
Please be seated. Panic. Sheer and utter panic. Now, maybe you've had that experience before where you were in some public place and you were really concentrating on what you were doing and you were kind of oblivious to the details of things going on around you, when all of a sudden you realize that something was wrong. You turn around and she's not there. Your mom was just there looking at a display of shoes, and you got bored and decided to wander off, and you found the aisle full of toys and became engrossed in that. And then that's when you realized that you were alone. You looked around. You went back to where you thought your mom was. She wasn't there. You're tearing up. You're feeling that panic in your chest. And finally, after a few minutes, and with the help of a store clerk, you're reunited with your just-as-freaked-out mom. Now, in the Bible passage that we're looking at this morning, we see that Jesus, the boy Jesus, is the one who was supposedly lost. And he is not at all in a panic. Let's look at our passage for today from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 45. I'm reading from a translation different from what's in the bulletin. When Mary and Joseph did not find Jesus, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Thus far, the text. Indeed, Mary and Joseph were the freaked out parents in this case. And again, Jesus was not at all in a panic. He was right where he belonged. Now it's fitting then that as Jesus is in the temple where he belonged at that moment, that he speaks his first recorded words. He didn't give excuses. He didn't speak disrespectfully to his parents. What he did was to remind them of who he was. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" Notice that I said, remind them of who he was. Joseph knew. When the angel of the Lord had appeared to him in a dream, he made it very clear that the child that his betrothed was carrying was going to be the one who would save his people from their sins. Mary knew. The angel Gabriel had made it very clear to her that the child that she was going to conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit would be the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. When Mary heard what the shepherds said, when they came to visit the newborn Jesus, Luke tells us that she treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. When Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple for his circumcision, they heard what Simeon and Anna said about him. They knew that Mary's son was God's son, that he was the Messiah. And that's exactly what Jesus reminded them. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" Jesus here was not just being a pious Jewish boy sitting here in the temple courts. He was laying claim to a specific identity, making it clear that he was everything that was prophesied about him, that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. So why didn't Mary and Joseph understand? Now, before we come down too hard on Mary and Joseph, I want to ask you how you react at times to what Jesus tells you. He tells you that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And yet, how often do you wander off on a path all your own, seeking out something that you think is going to be fulfilling or bring you happiness or bring you pleasure, and all it does is bring you pain and hurt and loneliness because you do end up lost? Jesus tells you that he is your good shepherd, that he takes care of his sheep. And yet, how much time do we spend anxiously worrying about having enough? He tells you to forgive your fellow Christian when he sins against you, and yet isn't it much more enjoyable to hold a grudge? Your reaction to Jesus' words, your anxious searching for what you deem is good or better, means that you are guilty. You're guilty of sin. Therefore, you are deserving of death because that is what sin brings. But that is not what Jesus, not even the boy Jesus in the temple, that is not what he wants for you. You see, it's not coincidental that Jesus was laying claim to the title of Son of God as he was here in the temple, the place of God's presence among his people, and that this was in connection with the Passover. The Passover, when God's people would sacrifice an unblemished lamb and they would dress in their traveling clothes to remind them of the deliverance that God had provided for his people from Egypt. The Passover would find its ultimate fulfillment in the Passover lamb, who would offer himself to be killed, whose blood would be poured out for the forgiveness of sins, for the forgiveness of all sins, for the forgiveness of your sins. So as Jesus sits in the temple courts, amazing the teachers, amazing everyone who heard him, really, this was kind of a picture of what his earthly ministry was going to be like. Him teaching amazing things and people not quite getting it. He himself being the true presence of God among his people, which the temple could only foreshadow. Him being the Passover lamb, the final blood sacrifice among countless blood sacrifices, the one who would bring ultimate deliverance for his people because he does indeed free us from our slavery to sin and brings us to the promised land of heaven. So maybe it's a little easier to understand why Mary and Joseph were a little confused when they heard what Jesus told them. It was a lot to take in. Thousands of years of waiting were to be fulfilled in this one boy. This boy who would grow up, who would be baptized by his cousin John, who would have the Holy Spirit descend on him in bodily form, who would go around Judea and Palestine preaching and performing miracles, who would gather around him a band of faithful followers who would willingly offer himself up to the authorities to be killed, but who would rise on the third day, who would ascend to his rightful place in heaven. For Mary and Joseph to take all of that in would be like trying to take a drink from a fire hose. We, on the other hand, we get to take our drink from a water fountain. Why? Because we have the benefit of hindsight. We can look to see what the Gospels record about Jesus, what he did in his earthly ministry, how he was the fulfillment of everything prophesied about him in the Old Testament. But the people of Jesus' day, including Mary and Joseph, they were trying to process all of this pretty much on the fly. That's part of the reason why Mary kept pondering all of these things in her heart. She was keeping them in her mind, trying to mull over how this was all a part of God's grand plan, how her son was the main part of God's grand plan. When Mary and Joseph went looking for Jesus, he was right where he belonged. And because he was, because he did everything necessary to provide you with the forgiveness of your sins, to bring you into his family, you are right where you belong, with him, with your Savior. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Jesus, as a boy in your Father's house, you amazed those around you with your understanding. Help us ever to be amazed at your love for us, a love that brought you to our lowly world so that you can bring us to your world. Fit us for heaven to live with you there. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.